At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, October 15th, 2020. Beating the Book podcast Megapod for week number 6. Thank you everybody for being here live from the D in downtown Las Vegas. Our second to last D episode. Is that what we're talking about, Mikey?
Penultimate, I think, is the word.
That's right, penultimate. See, Brent appreciates good English. See, penultimate. The second to last, for those who didn't go to private school, like Mikey. That's Mike Palm, the consigliere at Circus Sports, obviously the vice president of operations at Circus Sports. And Todd Wishnev, staple in his mom's attic somewhere in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a cork attic, right? We've established
it is
that.
Not cork. I don't know why you guys keep saying that, but okay, whatever.
Looks like it's cork wood on shingles.
Wood shingles.
This is a true honor to have on the show today a true legend, and he has been kind enough to do a one-on-one podcast with me in the early days of VSiN. But this is the first time he has ever been on the Megapod. It's really the first time I've asked. It's the first time I've had the nerve to ask. But he's very kind to do so. You know him from so many sports, the NFL today in one era, NBA basketball, college football at ABC, and of course, the founder of the Vegas Stats and Information Network, the great Brent Musburger. Good morning to you, Brent.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Pleasure. Pleasure to be with you. First of all, let me congratulate Mike Palm. We're going to add a Notre Dame legend, Amy Coney Barrett, to the Supreme Court. Mike, I know she was a great, great professor at the school there in South Bend, and it's a pleasure to have her coming on board, my friend.
Brent, we're so happy. It's such a measure of pride for us. And I had it in my notes. I wanted to mention it in the open when Gail came to me, and you beat me to it. But now maybe Notre Dame, the terrific law school, will be considered in the elite ranks of the Ivy League, who supplies all the Supreme Court justices.
Todd, is this where I take a phone call from Merrick Garland, or should I not take that call?
Well, you don't do that because fairness is not part of the situation in America.
Just curious.
We're done with fairness.
Just curious. Yes. Oh wait, what kind of show is this? All right, so here's how this works, as you all know. Three best bets from everybody. We'll do it in a round-the-horn fashion, either sides or totals. Then we'll do – we would typically start with Thursday night football thoughts, but we don't have Thursday night football because the Kansas City-Buffalo game got delayed because the Buffalo-Tennessee game got delayed because of COVID outbreak on the Titans. Didn't seem to bother the Titans the other night. So we will, we'll do the best bets. We'll do the teaser of the week, Survivor for me and Todd, and then the final two questions. Let us begin with our esteemed guest, Mr. Musburger. Brent, side or total, your single best bet of the week and your reasons why, sir?
I'm going to go right to your Thursday night postponement. I like the Kansas City Chiefs. Ordinarily, I would beware of the hook. I've seen it at 3.5 around town. But Buffalo coming off a short week and their poorest performance of the season when they were destroyed by the Tennessee Titans on Tuesday night. But there's a bigger, long-going issue with the Bills, and that's the injury in their secondary. Tre'Davious White did not play in that game Tuesday night. There is no chance that they can cover those wide receivers of the Kansas City Chiefs without him back there. They did sign the veteran Josh Norman before the season started, but he couldn't handle A.J. Brown. Good luck with Tyreek Hill and the rest of those wide receivers. Also, I think the Chiefs were perhaps just peeking past the Raiders. They have dominated us over the last two seasons. This was the first win that John Gruden has against them since he returned. But if you take a look at what the Chiefs did at Baltimore, they had been taken to overtime by the Chargers, prevailing 23-20, and then they just blew out Baltimore on that Monday nighter, 34-20. I think the same thing could happen here in this game. Josh Allen reverted to some of the mistakes he's made in the past. You can forgive him his first interception, but not the second one. It sealed the deal. Let me have the Chiefs, and I'll give the 3.5. So be it.
Chiefs minus 3.5 from Brent to start things off. That is the first of a Monday night doubleheader, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific start. Just to make that clear, because a lot of people are going to sort of sleepwalk their way through the start of that game if you don't know that and don't write it down. Kansas City at Buffalo on the Chiefs. Couldn't agree more about Josh Allen. First pick, not his fault. Second pick, good Lord. Just a complete underthrow to Malcolm Butler in that ballgame, which the Titans ended up winning big time with four short drives, two of those from those two interceptions. Mikey, your first bet.
I'm going to go back to where I've been going the last 3 weeks. And because it's been successful, I'm going to fade the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to go to the other Monday night game, and I'm going to lay 1.5 with the Arizona Cardinals. Is that the consensus? I saw a lot of 1.5s this morning.
I got two.
If it's two, it's two.
Okay.
Todd, what do you say?
I think, you know what, I usually don't like to go on Mike Palm's side, Gil, and I like you because you're always up on the numbers and have it all together. But I see enough 1.5s that we can give it to poor Mikey.
Okay, 1.5.
You know, he's in a big mood because of Notre Dame and everything. So give him the 1.5.
Are the Cowboys a better team with the beige water pistol than they were with Dak? I don't know. The number is almost reflective.
You went beige instead of red?
Well, he's not the red rifle. He's the beige water pistol. For most of his career, Matt Ryan was just Andy Dalton playing in a dome. I mean, come on, let's be honest about it. He's going to become a game manager here, but they still have this god-awful defense. What's the Jackrabbit going to do back the Roadrunner? I mean, they're going to run all over him. I think Arizona puts up 40 in this game, Brent, in this new NFL where the scores just soar. I don't see Dallas staying within a touchdown here. I was happy to take points against them. In the last two games, I'll be happy to lay 1.5 here with a better team. Arizona's a better team. I think if this game was played on a neutral field, it should be a 4.5 or 5-point favorite. I don't know that home field is worth 3.5 or 4 points anymore with the sparse crowds. And I just can't trust this Dallas defense. So once again, top pick, Cardinals minus 1.5.
Cardinals minus 1.5. We give him the 1.5 for Mike Palm. Toddy, what you got?
By the way, some people were complaining that we don't talk about how we're doing over the season. Do you want me to give a quick recap?
Yes, please do.
I don't mind it, Todd. Okay.
Mikey is red hot with his 3-0 last week. He moves to 9-5-1 on the picks. Gilly, with a huge week, moves from 3-8-1 all the way up to 5-9-1, which is 2-1 with his Miami also outright. He deserves more credit for that.
Yeah, but can we talk about Iga Świątek? Sorry. Maybe it's not the right time.
We'll talk about how you don't get paid on your bets in a moment.
All right.
I had a terrible 1-2 week to fall to 6-9. But that being said, all three of us are 4-1 with our teasers.
Yes.
Some of us getting more lucky than others, including a man from Iowa who had a 0.940000 chance to win that game on 4th and inches. And somehow the Minnesota Vikings gave it to Seattle, and he somehow pulled out his teaser. So Mikey also moves to 4-1 along with me and Gil on the teasers. That is the recap that people were asking for.
Thank you, Todd.
Hey, how about the Survivor? You and Gil, you on this show, and Gil in real life, still alive in Survivor.
Still alive. How many left in Survivor?
I forgot about that. We are still – Gil is alive in his second usage of Survivor. He had Arizona last week, and I had – New Orleans, and also was fortunate to survive. But as we said before, Hashem will have me winning this year and getting cash zero like Gil and Iga Swiatek.
Hashem, Brent, just so you know, is the Hebrew for the name, which is the literal translation. What it really means in Orthodox Judaism is God. That's who Todd is referring to.
Brent, I know a little too much about religion, unfortunately.
Yes. I just wanted to clarify.
Listen, my favorite word was always schmuck. You know what I mean?
I like a good Yiddish.
By the way, the last time, I'm probably going to hit all my picks because the last time I saw Brent, I remember it specifically, was the day Navy on 4th and 5 from the 45-yard line late last season decided to run a halfback pass down to the 2-yard line. And because of that, I hit a huge middle in that game. And I remember I was going up to the VEASAN, like next to the VEASAN studio in my living room in the South Point. And Brent was there. I was talking to a bunch of people around there. And I was like, I can't believe he ran a halfback pass on 4th and 5. It was the greatest thing ever.
Brent has no recollection of that, Todd. No.
I'm sure he doesn't. But I kept saying, I'm sure Brent doesn't remember.
Actually, I do.
Brent. Oh, he does. Pardon
me. Remember it?
I do remember that.
He does remember.
I was paying no attention to that game, Gil. I had no clue. Okay. And here he came waving that ticket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Brent, on 4th and 5 with like less than 15 seconds left, this guy throws a halfback. It was the greatest thing ever. Okay. Anyway.
The incredulity is amazing. You know, the halfback pass is one of the staples of the aerial attack of a triple option offense. They run those a lot. They run them every game.
Mike, not on 4th and 5 with less than 20 seconds left.
Okay,
hey,
Todd.
Hey, Todd, it's one thing to interrupt me. Could you not interrupt Brent? Can we just make that agreement right here? Could you not do that again? Thanks.
You know, I was doing really well.
Yeah. Mikey, Survivor update.
Key week in Survivor. We went from 640 down to 410.
It could have been so much more.
Well, Tan got knocked out with the 49ers, right? But
yeah.
But we would have had almost another 100 out that had Seattle and then New Orleans on Monday night. So, but we still made big ground down to around 400. I really think there's – somebody asked me this. Do you think how long this will last? What week? I think that people will go undefeated.
Remember, I asked you, what happens again if multiple people make it through 18 weeks? What happens again?
So let's say 4 people go 18-0.
Yeah.
Derek adds a million.
Add in a million and they split it.
Yeah, correct, Todd. Thank you. 1.39 million in the pool. So
yes.
It goes to 2.39 million. And 4 people would split that, so almost 600,000 each.
Mikey, I had to say it again because Gil's not good with sportsbook rules. I don't know if you heard
okay.
Early.
Today, all right, that's the show.
Hey, Gil.
Yes, sir.
Gil, this is very painful conversation for me. Full
I
disclosure.
I know.
Full disclosure. I went down. I went down to the D, and I dropped the grand, and I got in the Survivor. And I studied hard on Thanksgiving, and I took Derek and Mike's advice. I have to save the Dallas Cowboys. So where am I going to go in week one? There is no way the Indianapolis Colts are going to lose in Jacksonville. We all know what happened to me in week one.
Yeah.
It just the word survivor causes heartburn. You know what I mean?
Well, Brent, I'm no better than you. I had Indianapolis too, but I just had 2 entries. So that's the only thing I had over you.
Yeah, Brett, you, Mike did. And you were Gil. Smarter.
Yeah. Brett, Mike, and Gil both lost their Survivor picks in the first week. I was the only one who survived. So you're not the only one who went down with the Indy. But
are you still going? Are you still?
Yes, I'm
are you still
going.
Alive?
I have 5 picks going, and since I'm not in any contests, that's what I was saying before, is God hates me so much that this year I will pick every single Survivor pick correct, but because I'm not in a contest, I will not cash the money. That's like the ultimate stick it to me by God.
Brent, I told him to get in, but he's too cheap to use a proxy, okay? And he's in Pittsburgh, but he won't come
it's
up.
A pandemic,
He won't come up with the $50 for the proxy for the Survivor entry.
Todd, what's your best bet?
Okay. My best bet is, by the way, I'm going to be with Mikey on that Arizona later, but I'm not going to use that as my best bet because Mike already used that. So I'm going to use the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
-1.5. Is that what you have? 1.5 or 1?
1.
1. I'll take even better. Carolina -1. And here's why. I really like what's happening with this Carolina football team. They're showing me a professionalism with Teddy Two Gloves. They don't make mistakes. They just play it real solid. They don't try to do anything flashy. Just move me the football down the field, play some good defense. And I like this Carolina football team. I think they're under the radar. People don't really realize they're a decent football team. The Chicago Bears, on the other hand, are a fugazi foreign. They are the most ridiculous 4-1 I've ever seen. First of all, they didn't even deserve that game last week. I can give you multiple reasons why, but one of the biggest reasons was that roughing the passer inside the 10-yard
line,
which was horrendous. And then people are telling me, well, but they still stopped them on the drive later at the 40. I don't care. Because of that, that flipped the field. And then when they punted to Tampa and Tampa couldn't make it, it gave the Bears a chance to get the field goal to win the game. And, of course, Tom Brady, for the first time in his life, forgets what down it is. That's my luck, but whatever. Anyways, the point is the Bears are fugazi. They are not 4-1, folks. Remember the Detroit game? The guy dropped the ball in the end zone wide open. Gil, me, even you or Mike Palm, who are not as athletic, could have caught that pass. The Bears do not deserve to be 4-1. I don't understand why this line is only at -1. At first, I was like, is somebody injured? What's going on here? Give me the professional Carolina Panthers and Teddy Two Gloves.
Well, at the risk of sounding boring, that's my number one pick.
It's my number two.
I mean, all right, well, we're getting through
this
quick.
Got no shot of winning. Let me just
add to the Chicago thing. 4-1, biggest paper tiger at 4-1 there ever has been. What Todd is referring to is Mitch Trubisky's unbelievable fourth quarter comeback against the Lions in week one. It was a pass to DeAndre Swift that he just dropped that could have beaten the Bears even after that remarkable comeback. Then the Giants had the ball in their hands down 4, final drive of the game, could have taken out the Bears if it weren't for the ineptitude of Daniel Jones in that offense. Then the 99% win probability for the Atlanta Falcons, 1% win probability for the Bears. Nick Foles comes in and beats the Falcons. Shouldn't have won that game, but miraculously they did. Then they lose to the Colts.
Well, one second. They did deserve the Atlanta game. We know Atlanta loves to give up leads.
But okay, but they, you know what I'm saying. You have 1% win probability. You're probably not going to win that 99 out of 100 times. That's what that means. They lose to the Colts, and then Tampa Bay, just to flush out what you were saying on that final drive, not only the very shaky flag on the head-to-head to the quarterback, to Nick Foles, but also an uncatchable pass. And I'm curious what Brent thinks about this. I am of the mind now that if you're never going to call uncatchable, just expunge it from the rule books already. Because there was clearly an uncatchable pass that still got flagged for a PI on that draft, on that drive rather. And Chicago did end up kicking a field goal. By the way, last thing about that, Matt Nagy in a situation, I'll get the exact situation right on this. The Bucks had one timeout left at their disposal. Matt Nagy and the Bears could have bled that clock out and had Cairo Santos kick a go-ahead field goal with very little time left on the clock. Instead, a pass play, an incomplete pass that stopped the clock. Yeah, they got the field goal, but they gave Tom Brady more than a minute to go down the field. Now, he failed to do so, but how they're 4-1 is the miracle of all miracles. Brent, your thoughts on the uncatchable?
Well, I don't disagree with you. If they wish to change the rule specifically in that game, the one thing that y'all are overlooking just a little bit, and I'm not a defender of the Bears' record by any means, but that is a very good defense, and I think Teddy Bridgewater is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. I think what he did last year, replacing Drew Brees and leading them to 5 straight wins, was unbelievable. One of them was up in the Northwest, up in Seattle. I think Matt Rhule will eventually put the show on the road in Carolina, and they've had a very good run against Chargers, Arizona, Atlanta here with this win streak. But I don't think the Panthers have a very good defense as of yet. Okay, now Matt Rhule and the staff, I think Joe Brady has a chance as the offensive coordinator to become a head coach somewhere in the NFL, because I would expect that we're going to have about 5-6 openings when this season ends. I don't mind putting down the Bears overall. Certainly the dropped touchdown pass in the end zone stands out for all of us. But I would be a little bit careful this is a big time defense, and Teddy Bridgewater is going to have some problems moving the ball against it. Everybody else has, so there's no reason to think that they won't show up on Sunday.
Cautionary note from Brent about all the things he said. Chicago's defense being good, Carolina's warts as well. You, Mike, you have anything to add? Hold on, Todd. Mike, anything? Because it's Mike's number two pick.
It's my number two. First of all, Todd must have been watching No Hyperbole. This was my number three, was the roughing the passer call. You know, Alex Kemp, Brent, you might have known his dad, Stan, was an NFL official. Alex Kemp, he's becoming like Joe West. The whole show is about him every week. He disqualified Jamie Collins in week one when he was trying to show him about the lowering head. And now this big call, I mean, a shoulder-to-shoulder contact, he's looking right at it. His crew's getting like Corinthians' crew. They never get together, to the point about uncatchable. There's three other officials that see that ball's uncatchable. They have to get together when there's an obvious call. It's just like, Brent, if there's a grounding call, they all get together to make sure there was no receiver in the area and he was out in the tackle box and all. They don't do that. These crews get bad. It's my number two pick. There's no team I've been more impressed with as the season has gone on than Carolina. I think they've improved. Brent, I was wondering about your feelings on Matt Rhule and how you think he will fare in the NFL.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, I think he's going to do very, very well. Turning around college programs, let's look at Nick Saban. He had a lot of things going for him at Alabama. I'm not taking anything away from Coach Saban. He did a fabulous job. But when you go to Temple and then move down to Baylor, where they've been decimated by the scandal down there, and you turn both those programs into winners, you absolutely know how to lead, in this case, young men, and I think it will carry over. Let us not forget that he spent a year as an offensive line coach with the Giants. He's been in the National Football League. I have got enormous respect for Matt Rhule, and there is no doubt in my mind that he will turn the program around in Carolina. But I would just warn everybody that that is still a team that is not deep in experienced talent going forward, and they're going to come up against it sometime, and he won't be able to pull it out until he gets some better players. Obviously, Davis has done a great job for him as a running back. McCaffrey their best player, still on the sideline, went to the IR. And that just shows you how good this coaching staff is going to be going forward. I've got enormous respect, and I don't have a problem with anybody picking Carolina this week. But I just want to remind everybody, beware of that Bear defense, okay? It can still flat-out play, all right? And Indianapolis had to hit and hustle in that game. I think they scored 19 points in that win. And even with Phillip Rivers' problems throwing the ball downfield, that's still a pretty good football team at Indy. So I don't have a problem with anybody picking Carolina, but I wouldn't put the Bears completely down because of that defense, if you know what I mean.
Brent, your second best bet, either side or total?
My second best bet, and I don't like to give. I've got 8.5 here, but I'm taking the Miami Dolphins against the New York Jets. I will continue to go against the Jets as I have all season, every week. Obviously, they're going to be looking for a new coaching staff. That means a couple of things. Coach Gaze has a difficult problem. He had it in Miami. He has it with the Jets. He can't get along with his key players. Le'Veon Bell, now gone. What that means to your coaching staff is they're busy on the telephone during the week looking for jobs next year. They're not worried about the Miami Dolphins. Sam Darnold is still out. Joe Flacco steps in. Miami did an unbelievable job last week in going into San Francisco and putting 43 up on the 49ers, beating them 43-17. I think Coach Flores knows what he's doing. The quarterback who seems to enjoy life more than anybody else is Fitzmagic. The tight shots of him after he does something successfully, he's got a joy at his age. I think this is the 8th team that he's on. Obviously, this looks like a 10, 13, 14, name it point game. I can't see the Jets. Internally, they have to be a mess with what's happened with them right now. They've lost Jamal Adams before the season, went out to Seattle. And now Le'Veon Bell walks away. They didn't know how to use him. So I don't care who's playing the Jets. I'll give the points, and I'll take the Miami Dolphins.
Le'Veon Bell's three reported suitors right now. The Chiefs, can you believe that? The Bills and these Miami Dolphins, according to Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, you know, Gil, I do believe the Chiefs, and I'll tell you why. Damian Williams opted out because of COVID and problems within his family. And obviously, we know the great success of LSU rookie Edwards Helaire stepping in there. But they could use somebody like Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, he knows if you use him properly, he's a good route runner out of that backfield. And he gives you another weapon. And Damian Williams, if you go back to last year's Super Bowl, he came away with a tremendous performance against the 49ers for the Chiefs. So I can see the Chiefs actually being interested in a one-year contract. They don't have to give anything for him. He's a free agent right now. They can sign him for the rest of the season. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs sign Le'Veon.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Gil, can I ask Brent another question?
Please.
I got to do this for 2 years on Mondays and Tuesdays, is be able to pick his brain, you know, before they got some real talent there. But Brent, was last week's game, because to me it was just an utter domination, the Dolphins,
yes,
wire to wire. Was that more about how good the Dolphins really are? I mean, Gil, you have money on them to win the East.
Oh, yeah.
You were very high on them.
Yep.
Or is it more an indictment about how bad the 49ers are?
You know, Mike, I am shocked after the injuries destroyed the 49ers that they were able to bounce back. But again, it was playing up against the Jets and then the Giants up in New York, and they stayed in the East. It's probably a combination of both. But I have to tell you, when you're sitting at home, you got your starting quarterback coming back. You've got your ace running back coming back. There doesn't seem to be a reason to me that you get blown out in the first half as they did. I mean, that game was over, and Garoppolo got benched at the half. It's a combination of both, but I don't want to go overboard on Miami. I still don't put them up there in the New England Buffalo class in the AFC East. But clearly there are problems in San Francisco, and they have to make their last stand in that divisional game coming up this week against the Rams, in which they're a home underdog. So I think it's a little bit of a combination of both, to tell you the truth.
I do a little show with Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin. VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings on MSG Plus, 7 to 10 Eastern, over there on MSG Plus. And we do everything with DraftKings lines. Or we try to anyway. And my number three pick, by the way, is Brent's number two, which is I'm also on the Dolphins as my number three pick. So I won't add any more to that other than there's a prop at DraftKings. Will a team in the National Football League go 0-16 this year? And the yes is plus 550, which if you do it mathematically is probably not a good number. In fact, I know it's not a good number. But for those who aren't necessarily tied to the math and just want a good, fun bet to have, you only have three winless teams right now. Atlanta, they're going to get a win at some point. The New York Giants, for goodness sakes, they're 2.5, 3-point favorites against the Washington football team this weekend. And then there's the Jets. So essentially, it's a bet on the Jets not winning a game all year. And I got to tell you, I think it's pretty possible. There is no game on that schedule. It's at Miami, Buffalo, at Kansas City, New England, a bye, at the Chargers, home Miami. I guess you could make the case if the Dolphins decided at that point we'll throw in Tua maybe for the first time. Maybe that's a win. But then it's home against the Raiders, at Seattle, at the Rams, and home in Cleveland. I don't know where they win.
The bet is, will any team go 0-16?
Will any team.
And what's your price?
Plus 550.
Well, we have it for each individual team at Circa, and the Jets are plus 700 on their own.
There you go.
So you made a nice wager.
Well, I didn't make the wager because I didn't like the math.
Well, but the other two are 50-1 to go 0-16.
Yeah, but better at Circa. I would bet that instead.
You just bet the Jets straight because that's your bet, really, is the Jets.
That's what you should do. Todd, you're number two.
First of all this talk about a certain football team is making me want to sing, and I will do it for you. Miami Dolphins.
Here we go.
Miami Dolphins. I'm worried Brent's going against a team that's 0-5 against the spread. That never works in the NFL. The NFL has a way of screwing us.
Oh, no.
Be careful with the Miami Dolphins.
Brent, can I ask you a question? Where does this rank? Is this below the Flutie game and above the Gar Hurd game for your lifetime career experiences?
Brent, they love when I sing the Miami Dolphins song.
That's right. Poor Brent.
I love the Miami Dolphins singing. So I assume that you're on your Jets. That's the second best pick of the week, right, for you?
No, Brent. Brent, I'm a big shot during the song, but I'm not a big shot taking the Jets. I'm definitely not taking them. I'm just scared to go against an 0-5 against the spread NFL team because I know at the end of the year, almost all
absolutely,
the teams
they won't be. Yes,
six or seven spread wins, including the Jets, which just scared. Now, sometimes teams are just so bad they can't cover no matter what they do. But Miami Dolphins are 9.5. If I told you before the season the Miami Dolphins are going to be 9.5 against an NFL football team, people might go, that sounds a little high. Now, I'm going to be rooting for you and Gilly, but I won't take the Jets. Don't get me wrong. It just scares me that the Jets haven't covered. And they did play decently against Denver that one game. So, okay, be that as it may, I'll root for you guys. Now, on to other issues.
How many persons? Let me go back to that Denver game. Who was that quarterback again that they faced that night? How many personal fouls did they have in that game?
I think six.
Against Denver?
I think six.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a very disciplined football team.
Yeah.
Brent, the refs will have to help the Jets. The refs will have to help the Jets, no doubt. I'm with you. I'm just nervous about it. But anyways, be that as it may. The other thing is, I agree with you on the Bears defense. I think they're fantastic. And Mike, you should start asking me some questions, not just Brent. But anyways,
guy is ridiculous.
The Bears defense is fantastic. I couldn't agree with Brent more on that. I just think the Bears offense is not that good. So that's why I'm sticking with my Carolina, even in the face of Brent scaring me.
What's
there
your number two, Tosh? Number two.
You know, you don't want me to interrupt, and I don't, and then I just have to say my thing. Okay, thank you. Now, we'll move to my number two. My number two pick is the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cleveland Browns, over the 51 points. And here's why. The Cleveland Browns are moving the football, folks. I don't know if you're watching these Cleveland Browns games, but they are moving it up and down the field. I don't care who they're playing. They're moving it up and down the field. They're a good offensive football team. Now, you still have Baker Mayfield, and he could blow up at any moment and throw a pick six. But heck, that helps you on the over, too. The Cleveland Browns can move the football. They're going to be a high-scoring team all year long. Conversely, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not that super-duper defense that my Yinzers loved when we said, Yinz, don't come down here to Heinz Field and put the football in the end zone against us. We're too good for you. Well, this year, that football team's defense is not that good. Last week, they were down 17 points to the Eagles, and I tried to get Eagles plus 17.5 in game. And of course, the wireless wasn't working. Why not? God, kill me again. Anyways, the Eagles come all the way back and almost win that football game. This is not, and remember, Denver with Jeff whatever quarterback, I forget, the guy from Louisiana Tech, got all the way down inside the 15 and almost beat the Steelers.
Jeff Driscoll, Todd.
Right, that guy. Exactly. I forgot his name. Anyways, Pittsburgh's defense is not impressive. I think Cleveland's going to score. I think with Big Ben, he's going to score points on the Brownies as well. Give me the over 51. Thank you very much. I hope you can handle my discussions.
Drew Long, who beget Jeff Driscoll, who beget Brett Rippon. I think it's going back to Drew Locke this week for the Broncos, by the way, in their game. My number two, this is our last number two. I already had my number three. My last number two is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are getting a point, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, getting a point against the undefeated Green Bay Packers. The Packers are 4-0, and Aaron Rodgers has been sensational with whatever receivers he has on any given day. He has been unbelievable, and there's no question about that. But they've beaten Minnesota, Detroit, New Orleans and Atlanta. Okay, you know, not exactly a murderer's row. But here's what the point totals that they've given up on those four wins. 34, 21, 30, and 16. So not exactly a defense for the ages. And I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think this is a real buy low, sell high kind of game. I think people, obviously, victims of recency bias, we all are to some degree, to the extent that we can minimize that in our handicapping, the better off we'll be. But I think Tampa Bay, when last we saw them, we already talked about it extensively against the Bears, and Tom Brady, as Brent very accurately called it, had his senior moment where he thought there were five downs. Okay, that's great. But Tampa Bay is on extra rest here. They're getting players back, most notably, I believe, Chris Godwin. And I think Chris Godwin is just the kind of receiver that Tom Brady relishes having. And I think Tampa Bay is going to, I think the narrative here is going to flip on its head between these two teams. And Tampa Bay's defense is actually, to me, a very underrated outfit. You're giving me a point in a game in Tampa Bay. I will take the Buccaneers as my second best bet of three. Already given my third on the Dolphins. Brent, your final best bet.
I'm going to go opposite you, and I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers. Favorites, road favorites off a bye, Steve Mackinnon points out. Point spread weekly have been successful. I certainly agree with much of what you say about the Buccaneers. Chris Godwin, by the way, is practicing. Leonard Fournette is practicing. Both are expected back. However, on the defensive side of the ball, defensive lineman Vita Vea, who was carted off in Chicago, is out for the season. That's a huge loss to their run defense. And also, the corner Carlton Davis is missing practice. He's arguably their best defensive back there. Devontae Adams is back. He wanted to play in the week before the bye. Coach wisely held him off for this game. I also like the arrogance of Aaron Rodgers from a personal standpoint. He knows that the GOAT has always been talked about, Tom Brady. I think that Aaron Rodgers needs things to spur him on. I just think he's a little bit of a different kind of individual, drafted later in that first round. He's always needed something. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you, 49ers, you passed up a hometown quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. I also think that Matt LaFleur has done a tremendous job. The only team that really took him down last year was San Francisco. And, of course, he's a product of that system, so they knew what he wanted to do. Bruce Arians did not blow me away in Chicago. He's got to learn when to go for it on fourth down, not deep in your own territory. But when you cross into the enemy territory and you still are going to lead by less than a touchdown, you've got to go for it on fourth down. He didn't do that. I like the coaching staff. I like Rodgers. I like Devontae Adams back. I like the fact they're coming off a bye. So, Gil, I'm going to go against you. I'm going to take the Packers.
All right. We're oppo. Aaron Rodgers, who poured himself a glass of straight tequila, he says, after the Packers drafted Jordan Love, still wears that on his shoulder. He has done everything to make people forget that that happened first quarter of this season. Mike, your final bet, sir.
You know, I'm going to take maybe a little bit of off of a mainstream pick here. What, Todd and Gil, is the number on the Texans-Titans game?
I have 3.5 or 3 minus 20. What do you have, Gil?
I got 3 minus 20 across the board.
You want to give him the 3?
This is, before you give it, before, yeah, it's a 3.
I don't want to say which side
I'm on. Before you give the pick, let me just say that this, we talked about this on the show last night on MSG Plus. We try to sort of educate the new bettor to things. And this is one of those lines that a first-time bettor or a casual bettor looks at and says, oh, this is a trap game. This is a trap line. This is a trap game. How can this be 3? Tennessee, coming off that 42-16 win against Buffalo, previously undefeated, short week, though, against the Texans team that just got off the schneid with Romeo Crennel.
I'm going to take the Houston Texans in this game.
There it is.
Okay?
There it is.
Oh, so we got the bad number for Mikey. Yay!
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to tell it without knowing which side I'm going on. I would probably find the 3.5 rather than the 3 at even money, okay? But here, Brent, I mean, Brent, you can speak to that. This is a short, short week here. Now for Tennessee coming off a huge win for their program, right? A national TV game. Was it a TV game with Jay Feely calling it? I'm not sure if it's really a TV game. If Jay, you know what I did? Brent, you know what I did? You know what I did? And I wish I went back when I did on for Follow the Money yesterday, and I went through, I took 30 years ago to 1990, and I just went through the top 5 teams at CBS and the top 5 teams at NBC that had the AFC at that time, and listed that against how in the world on a national TV game we had Jay Feely. And what has happened to our country? But
our country.
There's two things. I mean, like the number 3 team for NBC in 1990 was Trumpy Cricky. Come on, we got Jay Feely. I mean, are you kidding me?
Listen, Don Cricky.
We missed this era, Brent, when you were calling games of how good everybody was and how
but
deep.
Don Cricky and John Brody.
Yeah, Don Cricky and John Brody called that Orange Bowl that year when Osborne went for 2 in 84. I still remember John Brody talking about Tom Osborne made this decision a long time ago. He didn't just make it now to go for 2.
Charlie right. Jones calling the San Diego Charger Denver.
Wait, hold on.
Bronco.
Can I ask Brent a question? Brent, how much did you pay attention back in the day when you were doing games to what other assignments there were with broadcasters?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I suppose I was always aware because, you know, we got the schedule. So certainly we knew who was doing which game. And of course, at the NFL today, we had to know every week, Gil, because we would interview the ones who were on the most prominent games. Obviously, Pat Summerall at that time, Tom Brookshire was working with him. So they were frequently always on that major afternoon game on CBS. So we would certainly get their opinion on things, what was unfolding back at the stadium. As far as NBC, I honestly didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that because I was so closely involved with the NFC. It was a great period for CBS and because of the NFC's success. And to Gil, unfortunately, I have to point to your team down in Washington. They were a power at the time. The Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Washington games, that was must see television back in the day. The Philadelphia Eagles really didn't come alive until Dick Vermeil moved in there, and then that became that. What's happened to the NFC East to me is very, very sad, and that's why a team like the Giants, they certainly will come away with a win before the season's over, certainly because they're in the NFC East or the NFC Least, as a lot of people like to call it. But so I was certainly had to be aware of the CBS assignments, but I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to NBC.
Charlie Jones, what a voice he had. And I mean, you had Merlin Olsen was with him. Enberg and Merlin Olsen were actually the number one team that year when I – but then, you know, Charlie Jones worked with Merlin. He worked with Todd Christensen for a while.
Yeah.
Had a lot of – but they were just so much better then. We were stuck – I'm in Dubuque, Iowa, so we would always see the Bears as the CBS game, right? And it would always be Tim Ryan and Johnny Morris. And my dad hated Johnny Morris. He'd always – turn down the volume. He'd say, I don't want to listen to Morris.
You know, it's funny, Mike, because Johnny Morris was one of the first players that I was ever around who actually told his friends who to bet on when it came to point spreads. And when he was retired, he loved to take a position himself. Yeah, Johnny was a good friend of mine because he was the local sportscaster over at NBC after he left the Bears. So I knew Johnny very well. I covered him as a wide receiver, a pretty good slot receiver in the old Hallis teams. And that's pretty funny, though, about the Bears. You know, back in the day, Rhett Grange was the analyst on Chicago Bear games when they first put him up on television.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He did a few games. Yeah. Yeah. It was unbelievable. The first time they were ever up there, and then George Connor took over. Mike remembers him.
Yes.
Yeah, he and his dad watching the Bears. George was up, and Bill George may have tried the great linebacker for a couple games, but that didn't particularly work. Lindsey Nelson was the voice of the Chicago Bears, and back in that day that I'm talking about, the each team had an announcer assigned to them. Jack Buck was assigned to the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, God, Cowboy fans hated him because he played it more right down the middle. He was not a cheerleader. But each team had its own announcer assigned to do their games over on CBS when they were at home. We had some great moments with the old guy. Johnny Unitas was one of our analysts for a while. Yeah, we had a lot of fellas.
I remember Lindsey Nelson as a kid doing games on CBS, and I remember Vin Scully had a year of football,
Vin Scully with Hank Stram. They called that game with the catch in the Candlestick Park.
They did.
Brent was sitting there at midfield with the CBS crew.
That's right. Mike's right. And that was the last football game that Vin Scully did. The internal decision to move John Madden, not to Vince, but to Pat Summerall, was the decision that caused Scully to leave as our football announcer. It was a decision that, and Vince being the class act that he is, never talked about it. But wherever John Madden went, that was going to be the number one team. And so they decided, and honestly, I think they made the right decision because Summerall gave John, you have to excuse my dog here in Montana, but the network made the right decision. Summerall gave John Madden more room to maneuver. Vince was such a polished announcer that he was going to occupy more time. So that's how that decision was made. And yes, Scully was at Candlestick on the great catch by Dwight Clark. When I was, and Mark is right, I was at midfield. I honestly thought the ball was going into the stands. It was thrown that high. And then suddenly Dwight Clark came out of nowhere, grabbed it. The goalposts that are up in that end zone are now reside in Montana, up in Eddie DeBartolo's place up north of the Flathead, up by Kalispell. He put them in his backyard.
That's great.
And they're there today. Yeah, it's wonderful.
What a game that was.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the top 10 games in pro football history, in my mind.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
And, of course, a Pittsburgh Yenzer story, because DeBartolo was from the Berg. Joe Montana was from the Berg. Everybody's from the Berg.
I'm a little partial to the NFC Championship the next year.
Well, Dallas went through three straight. They lost three straight NFC Championship games with
they
Danny
did.
White.
They
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
That was Philadelphia.
It was the beginning of the end of Landry there, where he couldn't get over the hump and he lost the three straight games.
Philadelphia, San Francisco,
Washington.
Dr. Jim Tunney called that game. He was the head official. Brent in that game in the catch.
My favorite.
Jim Tunney.
Great. What a great guy.
He was.
Loved him.
What happened to all the officials, Brent? We got all these nameless, faceless goofs now. They're no Red Cashins and Dick Hantecks and, you know, Jerry Markwrights. There was character. The people loved these officials. Now they hate them all, and it's just replay and all nonsense. Anyhow,
anyway.
Yeah, I think you put your finger on it, Mike. I think replays changed everything. Not that I was married to it, but I did watch the NBA at Game 5, fourth quarter, which was probably the best quarter of the finals when Miami stayed alive. And I was telling guys, I said, listen, back in my day, we had technicians, man. This would have been a guarantee going to a sixth game, okay? There'd be no problem here. You subtly, I mean, we had, you know, Strom, we had, you name it, O'Donnell, all Crawford. Those NBA officials were much like the referees in the National Football League. But I think replay, Mike, I think replay has changed officiating. Like you mentioned, West in baseball, we've only got a few real characters and personalities left. They had, without replay, they had more power. And how they used it, how they carried themselves, Mindy Rudolph and things like that. I think that replay has changed officiating, some for good, some for bad, and we shall see. But we do not have the overriding personalities, you're exactly right, that we used to have.
Thank you, Brent. That's priceless perspective on that from back in the day.
So they're coming off this big win.
Oh, what are we talking about? Tennessee again? Tennessee and Texas.
And the short week. Yeah. I like this team. They got, you know, you get this lift when you have an overbearing coach. You see it in hockey all the time. When you have a coach that's lost the locker room or a hard coach and the team's not performing, and you get a lift when you get that personality out of there. And I think Romeo Crennel will give them a little room to breathe. And I just think this is a tough spot for Tennessee here. So I'll take the field goal or 3.5 with the Texans.
Wow. Todd, your last pick. And then we're out of best bets.
I'm very, very nervous to do this because both you only Mikey likes this. Actually,
already. It's the Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals -1.5. Yeah, give me Arizona Cardinals -1.5. And here's why.
You're nervous because Mike liked it too?
Well, I thought both you and Mike liked it, and somehow we're all three on the same thing. It's always a loser. So if it's only Mike, it's fine. The point here is the Dallas Cowboys are not playing any defense at all. I mean, it is unbelievable. I had a Cleveland-Dallas money line in-game parlay last week, and I jumped off the Dallas side because when Dalton came in, because I was just like, I just can't trust this defense. Danny Dimes was moving it up and down the field against that defense. This defense is horrendous. What is Kyler Murray going to do to these guys? He's going to be running all over the place. Arizona is going to get to 35 before you can blink. So now they don't have Dak Prescott to move it down the field for them. They got the red rifle. What do you call him now, Mikey? The beige what? The beige bomber? What did you call him, Mikey?
The beige water pistol.
the beige water pistol running the offense. I don't think they can keep up with the scoring because their defense is, I just can't believe it. I mean, it's worse than the Falcons. It's worse than Seattle. It's just horrendous. And you just get so nervous when the other team has the football because they're going right down the field. So, you know, give me Arizona. I know they've been a little sketchy. They've been a little up and down and everything, but I just don't see how they're going to keep Kyler Murray from running all over the place and just moving the ball without any kind of, you know, pushback at all. So give me Arizona minus 1.5.
Arizona minus 1.5. All right. Those are the best bets, which brings us to the rapid fire. We'll do teaser of the week, survivor, and then the final two questions. Two team or two leg, because it could be a side as well. Two leg, 6-point teaser of the week. As Todd mentioned, we're killing it on these. Brent,
we're
you have
all 4-1.
All 4-1. Brent, you have honors.
Yeah, I would take the Dolphins, take them down to minus 2.5, and I'm going to tease Indianapolis down to minus 2 against Cincinnati. That would be my two-team, 6-point teaser.
What was the first one?
Miami.
Miami.
Miami down to 2.5, and Indy down to
2.
To 2, okay.
Miami. Mikey?
Yeah, I think you have to use the Dolphins. Isn't the Dolphins going to be in everybody's teaser? And then I would go, I know it's a road team, but I would go with the Ravens and take them down to, what are they, 7.5?
Why does that scare me?
They all scare me. The Dolphins was the obvious choice. The rest of them are short favorites, and I'm not going through the zero. I really don't like any dogs to tease through 7 unless I did the Texans. I don't want it both, though, because I already used them as a best bet. So it was either the Colts or the Ravens for me, and I'm going to take the Ravens. Brent, is Doug Peterson the worst field goal manager in of all time? What is this guy doing?
Unbelievable.
No, really. Heinz Field.
I cannot.
Oh, Heinz Field is such a tough place to
terrible.
Kick.
Exactly. He should have known that. There's that body of water out there that wind comes whipping in off of it, and the percentage through the years has been horrendous. I had the Steelers, and so I was very happy. I had laid the points, and that was the only chance I had was for them to miss that field goal and give the Steelers that kind of field position. So I absolutely, and you go back to the tie against, when he passes it up against the Bengals. So you're exactly right. He mishandles field goals. You know, it's somewhat surprising because I thought he did a real good job, of course, the Super Bowl year. And he was exciting in the Super Bowl with the Philly special and everything. So it's kind of disappointing to watch Coach go through this right now.
He was good because he had Frank Reich, Brent. That's when he was good. Yeah. Since Frank Reich left, they're 20-19-1.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Lombardi asked me, he goes, could you explain to me what Doug Peterson was doing at 57-yard field goal? And I said, listen, Michael, when you have the chance to kick a 57-yard field goal on 4th and 5 with over 3 minutes left and the Steelers only needing a field goal to beat you even if you make it, you just have to take that shot every time.
The problem is the third down. The problem is the 3rd and 5 play call. Right. He had to make a decision. Either he was going to go 2 downs or he was going to punt. Okay, but the dummy thinks that he can trot Lynn Elliott out there and kick a 60-yarder in Pittsburgh. The third down play call was so bad.
What's your two-teamer again?
Ravens. Ravens minus 1.5, Dolphins minus 2.5.
Dad?
Wait a second. The Dolphins, hold on. We made a mistake here.
What?
The Dolphins are 9.5-point favorites. If you lose 6 points, that's only 3.5, Michael.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he's Gil? Right. Yeah, you're right, Todd. You're right.
So it's Miami. Anybody who has Miami on the teaser leg is at 3.5, not 2.5.
You don't see enough nines out there?
I don't see any nines.
I see 2 nines, but 9.5.
Even
is
so,
most,
that only takes you to 3.
Yeah, 9.5 is correct. Consensus, 9.5. Brenton,
so what's the 9 line on the Bears?
I'm looking right here at the board at Circa. I got 9.
All right. Well,
so even at 9, it only takes it to 3.
Okay, so we'll take the 3.
I'll take the 3. I think they're going to blow them out anyhow.
Fine. We'll give you 3.
What's the number on the Bears and the Panthers?
1, Brent.
Carolina 1.
And so I can. Carolina is 1, and I'll take the Bears up to 7.
Brent is off of Miami, and he is on the Chicago Bears because he loves their defense, plus 7.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And Indy minus 2. That's your other side, right, Brent?
You got it.
Okay.
Todd is the Brent. Court stenographer of this podcast, Brent.
I'm the official stenographer.
He's also the narrator now.
Yeah, apparently. Todd, what's yours?
Well, Mike, first I would like to ask Brent another question about 70s television. No, I'm just kidding. I actually would love to sit and talk to Brent for hours about 70s television, but I won't bore all you guys right now. Jimmy the Greek, I could probably ask 1,000 questions about Jimmy the Greek.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to retweet my podcast with Brent from 3 years ago because Brent was generous enough to cover all of those topics.
Did he talk about Charles C. Canty?
I don't know if Charles C. came up. I don't know if she was part of that. But Eminem was part of that. What happened that night with Eminem in the college football booth? Old NFL Today stories with Jimmy the Greek. Todd, what is your teaser?
We'll listen to that later. My teaser is I am with Michael Palmage with the Ravens -1.5. And my other pick is the Indy Colts at -2. I cannot stand Philip Rivers. I can't stand him with I hate him so much. He makes me so mad. He's cost me so many bets over the years inside the 10-yard line when he can never punch it in. He's just horrendous, but I'm going to just hold my nose. I'm going to hold my nose and pray that he can get it -2 against the Bengals.
But he'll always find someone to blame, though, won't he, Philip Rivers? Seems that way. I am going to take Miami down to 3. And Tampa Bay up to 7. Miami, Tampa Bay.
-3 and Tampa Bay at +7.
Correct.
For Gil.
All right. Okay. Survivor pick. I don't know if you want to get in on this, Brent, but this is a Todd thing. Brent, if you had a survivor pick, are you into Survivor at all, Brent?
I'm out.
Okay. So Todd and I. Todd, yours?
Okay. So Gil, you have used Tennessee, Cleveland, New England, Tampa Bay, and Arizona. I have used Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Cleveland, Seattle, and New Orleans. And this week I am going with the Bill Belichickians. I don't know who to pick. I don't know what to do. Give me New England. If in doubt, give me Mr. Bill Belichick. Get me to the next week, New England. Thank you.
And my pick is the Miami Dolphins. Hit it, Todd.
We already sung this song. Miami Dolphins. Gil's gonna get burned, and unfortunately, Brent may too.
Okay, that's fine. All right, final two questions. The final two questions of each and every Megapod. Of the big favorites on the board, and I will define those as favorites this week of, let's see. Oh, man, there's only a few of these, huh? Of the big favorites, there's 4 of them. Who is the most likely, in your opinion, to lose outright? The candidates are New England, 10-point favorites against the Denver Broncos. Everything else is like 4 and lower. Indianapolis, 8-point favorites against the Cincinnati Bengals. Baltimore, 7.5-point favorites at Philly. And Miami, 9.5-point favorites hosting the Jets. Only those 4 games. Everything else is really 4 points or fewer. It's an interesting, total opposite of last week. Of those 4,
Wait,
Brent...
Did you give your third pick, Gil?
Yeah, my third was Miami. I gave it earlier.
Oh, Miami, okay.
Yeah. So of those 4, New England against Denver, Indianapolis against Cincy, Baltimore against Philly, and Miami against the Jets. Brent, who do you think is the most likely of those big 4 favorites to lose outright?
Probably none, but I'll take New England because we're not sure about Cam Newton, okay? I know they're saying that he's going to return to practice, and they're hopeful that he's going to be back. We do know that Drew Locke has been practicing for 3 or 4 days with the Broncos, and he's been adding to it. I'm not quite positive yet about the Patriots. Went out to Seattle, lost, couldn't finish it off on that last play of the game. I know they took care of our Raiders, and then with the backup quarterback, if Newton can't go, they've got real problems. And Denver, when you look at them, yes, they've lost 3 games, but ATS, they've won 3 games. Okay, so could they spring the upset? They've had a lot of rest. This is a rested football team going in there. So I certainly don't like any of them, to tell you the truth. But I would take Denver to upset New England.
We will note that I forced Brent to answer a question that he didn't have a preference for, but because he's being a good trooper, he answered it with New England. Mike?
I agree with Brent. I wouldn't, this is a tough week to
really?
pick one of the
I'm surprised by this pick.
What, that it's a tough pick?
No, that it's New England. I really am.
To me, it's either New England or the Colts.
To me, it's the Colts or the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't. I'll take the Colts.
Yeah.
I think in this game, I really like it to be low scoring. I think the total's a little high, and I would bet the under. So if a game's going to be low scoring, there's a better chance that the team that's the underdog can probably win the game. To me, that 7.5's a lot of points. I know it's a straight-up bet, but Rivers did look pretty awful last week. And Burrow had it the first time he really got beat up by a defense.
If they could just protect him a little.
Well, instead they put Joe Mixon and his injured shoulder into the line 15 times in the fourth quarter so they could kick a field goal at the end of the game. Ah, Colts is my choice.
Dodd.
My pick is the Philadelphia Eagles may upset the Baltimore Ravens. Last week I had the Baltimore Ravens team total over 30.5. They had 17 in the first quarter, and I thought I was going to cash easily. And then all of a sudden the offense just went to sleep. The Ravens just don't look a touch off to me this year. I still think they're a great team. I still think they're fantastic. They just don't look as sharp to me on offense as they've looked in the past. And conversely, the Eagles, I don't think they're as bad as everybody thinks. I have to give them credit for going into Pittsburgh, being down 17, and, you know, bad field goal choices or not, it was 31-29 at the end of that football game. And the Eagles did win the week before at San Francisco, which, of course, doesn't look as good now that Miami spanked San Francisco. But I do think the Eagles have a little something there that maybe at home, you know, the Ravens come in a little, you know, overzealous, thinking they're just going to win every single game easily. I'll take the Eagles.
Yeah,
I mean, if I had to pick it.
As I said, for me, it's a toss-up between the Colts and the Ravens. I'll say the Colts just because I trust the Ravens a little more. But I do agree with what you're saying, Todd. Lamar Jackson doesn't look exactly like we have come to expect him to look in the past year or so. But I'll take Indianapolis because I just don't trust Phillip Rivers at all. I don't. And I think Joe Burrow and the Bengals, even though that was my only loss last week, the Bengals really let me down. I do have a feeling they're going to be a backdoor cover machine all year. And I think in this case, they may even flirt with a victory. So I'll say it's the Colts. Final question, guys. 14 games on the NFL slate this weekend. It's always hard to figure out this year now, week to week, how many games are each weekend. But we have a doubleheader Monday, and then we have 12 games on Sunday. Right now, only two scheduled for the afternoon. God.
And one of them is the Jets and the Dolphins.
Oh, man.
Oof. Why do they do that?
Fox will no one's going to move anything. Fox is going to protect that whole national audience for the Tampa Bay Green Bay game.
Yeah.
Okay. Brent, can you talk to somebody at the NFL and say, we need more 4 o'clock games? This is ridiculous.
I'm on it.
I'm on it. Good answer, Brent. That's all I deserved.
I bet you Brent knows higher ups over there.
Pete Rozelle's not walking through that door, Todd, okay?
All right, here it is.
Brent, that still gets – people still talk about that day when I said about all those people in Michigan and Detroit aren't walking through that door.
All right. We live in a bizarro world. We must pick a side in every single one of these games. You must bet a side in every single one of these games, but you get one free pass. One game where on the spread, you want no part of it because you have no idea how it's going to go. Brent, which is the game that flummoxes you the most?
Actually, I've got two of them, two division rivalries. Number one, I'll go with Cleveland-Pittsburgh. I'm not quite sure I'd get a good read on that. And the Rams and the 49ers. The Rams, a road favorite, desperate 49er team. I want no part of either of those games, to tell you. Just going to enjoy watching them and seeing what happens. But if I have to go with one, it would be the Browns. They vastly improved coaching staff in Cleveland against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steeler defense has not been quite as dominant as we expected, but I would stay away from the Browns and the Steelers.
Yeah, you can make a case for a lot of these games to answer this question this week. Mike?
I don't ever want to be involved in the Falcons. I think I choose the Falcons every week, and I'll choose the Falcons and Vikings. The Vikings coming off that horrible loss where, you know, Zimmer took a lot of criticism for not making it 8, and Atlanta, will there be a bump with Raheem Morris? Their defense got a bump when they promoted him last year from defensive backs coach to coordinator. Now they're moving him from defensive coordinator to head coach. Will that make their defense any better? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm staying away from this.
You may not have to even try to stay away from it. Right now that game is off the board.
It could be.
With one COVID positive, reported this morning. Atlanta shut down their whole practice facility, and this game is off the board. At least it was as of an hour ago. That's the thing with this year with contests and Survivor. You have to wait till the very end before putting in your picks because you never know with these games. Todd, which is the game you want no part of?
You know, the Washington football team and the New York G-Men is a game that I just don't want any part of. The Washington, who's playing quarterback, who's not playing quarterback? What is this team? Are they good on defense? Are they bad on defense? The Giants, they could be all over the place. What's going on there? I'll watch if I see some in-game stuff that's possible. You know, if the teams start moving the ball, maybe I'll be jumping on the over, but I don't like that game.
Yeah, that's the one I would pick. There's a lot I could pick, and I don't disagree with any of the ones already picked. I could pick Detroit-Jacksonville, too, quite frankly. I have no clue about that. But I'll land on Washington and the Giants as well. Kyle Allen is the starting quarterback for the Washington football team this week. I think everybody was thrilled with Alex Smith's revival and entrance into the game last week. It was a great story. But, God, I was scared for him every time he dropped back. So I'm kind of happy and comfortable that it is Kyle Allen starting at quarterback. And I don't know if that's a better thing for the football team. It might be. But I want no part of that game. Thank you to all. Thank you to everybody who is a generous host at the D. Mike Palm, who is the Vice President of Operations at Circa Sports. Derek Stevens, Consigliere. We are 12 days away from the opening of Circa.
You know, Brent, we understand you can't make it. We'll be missing you on the black tie affair on opening night, and we hope you're well, and you've done a great job keeping yourself safe during all of this. But we will be thinking of you, Brent.
Mike, my man. I plan on being there, lad.
There you go. That's breaking news.
Just made news on the Megapod. Listen, we just made news.
Listen, between that and Vin Scully bowing out after that decision was made, I think we've made two bits of news here today.
It's incredible.
That story anywhere else.
Brent,
it's incredible.
Brent, if you want, I'll drive from Pittsburgh. I'll swing through Montana.
No.
He doesn't want that.
No.
He doesn't want that.
we can talk.
Mike, I told Bill Adie I was going to come. In fact, I'm going to bring Arlene down from Montana. We'll both be there, lad.
Oh, this is incredible news. Wait till I tell
this.
No, Bill has not told us that. We really thought you couldn't make it. So this is great.
Derek will
make the day worthwhile.
There you go.
Right. Okay. You guys take care.
Thanks, Brent.
Bill.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brent.
The great Brent Musburger, right, everybody. Brent. Kind enough to join us from Montana right here on the Megapod. Thank you, Mikey. Thank you, Todd. Thank you to all for listening. Good luck with all your picks in week 6 of the National Football League. Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.